are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow?
How about a little fire, bee girl? I've received a communication from Sydney, Australia. Dero, love the show. Can you get Lisa signed up for the show permanently? But you know what's funny? We just posted a picture of Matt Sensio, our manager. That's not Lisa, Sid. The real Lisa is going on American Idol tonight. These are abstract jokes, Sid. Sydney, Australia. Is she still dancing? Roth Radio, we are. David Lee Roth. My very special sister.
Your special sister.
Well, you're not.
As opposed to your normal sister.
Well, I never really wanted to share this. There's never a good time, Lise, but you were adopted.
That's what you told me.
No.
Early on.
Our parents told us both that if we didn't behave, we'd be sent back to the Indians.
They did.
And that they would use the money to throw a big party. So I started learning Cherokee early. Roth Radio. You have a thing there that you were reading about smoking, because we are smoking. What you had a top list there about the first vending, about holy water or whatever that was?
Oh, yeah.
Swing, go ahead.
When we were talking about vending machines, it turns out the vending has quite a long history. The Greek mathematician Hero seems to have got the ball rolling in 215 B.C., when he invented a machine to vend holy water in Egyptian temples.
Okay, now how much did he sell the holy water for? This is interesting. Did you like bring a tubercular chicken and lay it at the feet,
Yeah, I want to know if you had to pull one of those buttons or if you pushed a button.
The buttons weighed so
maybe
much.
Maybe you had a lever.
The buttons weighed so much back in ancient Egypt. One granite button and you'd have to make that drink last like a lifetime or something, man. Can you imagine?
I don't think you drink holy water, Dave.
Would you have like mummy cola? They drink Kabbalah water. That's holy water. Hold on. I'm using a holy voice. I see you looking at me. You'll never guess where that music's coming from. Oh, yeah. I put my Kabbalah string on too tight this morning.
I think you put it in the wrong place.
Now it's a sex toy. If I time it right, then when I say the punchline, this happens. See?
Nothing.
A Kabbalah string could be a sex toy. You just have to tie it a little tighter.
I bet it's been used that way, don't you?
You know, if you get enough of them. Oh, you know what I thought of the other day? I actually remembered. No, I don't want to take a call just yet, Hutch.
Okay.
Please.
Kabbalah string could be made into a sex toy, depending on how you use it. But you know, there's also another reference that I have to that, is I was down at the little bodega downtown in the Lower East Side the other day, and they were selling those long red licorice pieces. You know,
oh,
they were like
yeah.
3 feet long or whatever. And do you remember Dot, my girlfriend?
Dottie.
Don't say her last name.
I almost did.
Don't.
I have my own Dottie story.
Okay, Dottie's the best, right?
Okay.
And we used to take 6 of those red licorice ropes. And when I was all done, we would eat them together. You can't
the
do
licorice ropes.
What are you, a wise guy? Roth Radio, she is. She's my sister, Lisa Roth. I'm the wise guy. Keeper of the tribal knowledge, David Lee. Animal?
Yo, what's up?
You're like a keeper of the tribal knowledge, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, you know that.
Have you ever used a sex toy?
Of course.
No, not on yourself.
Oh,
not,
no.
do you think it's okay that we can sell these out of vending machines?
Well, you know, man, I think it's pretty cool you can do that. You know, it's for each his own, you know? But, like...
What am I hearing in the background?
Oh, it's the that's the emergency thing in the building.
Did somebody set off the fire alarm? Because this is a hot topic.
I'm
this
not
is just
leaving.
A test, I think.
Uh-oh.
Is it just a test?
Shh, shh.
It's just a
test.
We will be conducting a test of the fire alarm system. Please.
Listen. It's little tiny people in the radio animal.
Oh, man. That's what that is. I know a crazy story about little people in the radio.
Don't
man.
Tell that one. Okay. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. We are tiny little people in your radio.
Yeah.
I don't know. Start at the top. Boston's always got a good idea. Swing on it there. Number five, Hutch. Boom. While we're young and good looking. Roth Radio, you're on. Are you there, Rich?
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Just wanted to say you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Rich.
And I just want to know your opinion now. Over in Amsterdam, in the red light district, they have smokehouses over there, but they're a little different type.
Okay, you're talking
you know
about where
mean?
They sell.
You know, you go over there and you get to pick whatever you want on your menu, and as long as you stay in your in your house there, you get to have whatever you want that's on the menu there.
Okay, now you're referring to all the pot smoking that goes on in Amsterdam, which actually is not legal. It's called salutary neglect. It's a political term where they choose to overlook it or to neglect that the activity is occurring. But on the books, that's not legal. Drugs are not legal in Holland. But in that part of the town, you know, and that's been the great trade town since Napoleon's men went whoring it up in the red light district there. Now it's basically spring break, you know, and, you know, Jenna Jameson and whatever there. But you can go buy pot out of the little smoke shops or whatever. And I'm convinced that all of that pot smoking is what made Holland the great industrial innovator we've come to know her as today.
You keep reverting to that theory, Dave. Sounds like you're making excuses to me.
Well, I don't know. He says that this is okay, that they can have it isolated into a part of town. And you know what? I'm going to be accepting of that. I'm going to even extend that to a red light district here. My friend Rich, are you still there? Boston, come back to me.
Yeah, I'm still here, Dave.
Okay, what about here in the United States? Do you think that would be acceptable if people wanted to smoke pot that they should have smoking lounges or smoke regular cigarettes that they should have smoking lounges? You think that's okay?
Yeah, I do.
What
I
about having
actually legalize it?
What about vending machines that are on the corners selling cigarettes and even pot? You think that's okay?
No, I don't. Not in vending machines for marijuana, but cigarettes, pot, no.
Okay, but cigarettes, aren't kids going to get into that? Kids will find their way into anything now that you have the internet, etc. But if you're going to put it right on the street corner, that's basically how I started. In fact, there were no vending machines on the street corner. I just waited out in front of the liquor store and said, "Hey, mister."
Exactly. And you don't get that today anymore. And I've been into packies, and I remember doing the same thing, standing out in the street corner and asking the guy and hoping he'd say yes and even buying him a six-pack. And that's how you got your buyer, you know,
sure.
14 and 15.
We used to have a wino named Cap down on Fair Oaks Boulevard below Colorado in Pasadena, California. And we would drive what was called the bomb. Somebody had a big old Oldsmobile something, 1900-nothing, whatever, and you would have to push it to get started. Mm-hmm. And we'd roll down and give Cap, you know, we'd try to make it exact change because you know Cap, please. You know these routines. So if you put something on the street corner, of course kids are going to get to it. I'd rather see it, actually, from this standpoint today, I'd rather see it in the smoking lounges. I'd rather see that there are places ascribed to it. And I think you could even create whole sections of the city for that kind of a lifestyle.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. What if you took Ground Zero, which now has all of these kinds of air impact, environmental impact issues, more than ever, we're hearing about all of the toxicity and everything that's airborne down there. That's not going away. It's going to be there for a long, 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 long time. What can you do with that turf down there? What can you do besides creating a memorial, which is obvious and clearly to occur, but once you've achieved that, what can you do that's going to be real proper with that whole area down there? Because it's going to be toxic. Give it to the young people. Give it to the folks who have the immune systems, who have the strength, who have the endurance to throw that kind of stuff off and create a student area. Create something that is for daycare centers, worker housing, military families, people who are working their way through college. If even you're a ceramics major, if you can show that you're an artist, start the artist in residence program. At least you remember that from the 70s, that if you were an artist of any kind, you could sign up with the mayor's office or whatever it was, and they gave you a loft.
and you could stay up there and do any kind of artwork that it would be. Performance art, poetry, authorship, screenwriting, cinematography, editing. This should all be down there at Ground Zero now. How about a testimonial to the future instead of only a solemn memory of the past? Start with the solemn memory of the past, but create something that speaks up to the future. And if you're going to have smoking, then you have it down in that area, because that's where the young and skinny energy is, the alternative communities, everybody who's left of center, all the liberal arts community, everybody who's on the other side of the coin, too. The military community, the police, fire, they all smoke cigarettes on and off. Cigars people, cigar makers are artisans, just like chocolate makers. There's a place for them perhaps down in that kind of a community. Lise, what do you think?
Well, I love the idea of using it in such a productive way. As creating an institution, educational, that kind of thing. I don't get the toxic part, though. Why it's okay to... First of all, I'm not familiar with the toxic situation down there. What's going on?
Oh, it's all airborne. Everything that fell to Earth is now airborne. Where's Bob? You're breathing him. Just that simple. And you have a whole lot of workers who are walking around without respirators and eye protection and all of the stuff that can prevent these kinds of inhaled upper respiratory disasters. Now you got a lot of guys demonstrating quite justifiably down there saying, hey, you left us behind. Look at all the medications I got to take. It looks like every third person that we would go and pick up the asthma, the unfortunate folks with all the asthma and upper respiratory stuff when I was driving in the ambulance, every third time in the back of the ambulance. Do you have asthma? Yeah. Got bronchitis? Yeah. Have trouble breathing now? Yeah. You just might as well not even ask the question. Who's most fit to take over a part of the planet like that now? You're going to have to populate it with somebody. Give it to people who are young and strong. Give it to people who are going to find a way to get around that and have the energy to actually make those steps. Because it's still a disaster down there. And if you do that with that kind of young and skinny energy, I call it, you create a community that is based in the liberal arts as well as, you know, the infrastructure of the culture. I'm saying you put the military college right next to the fine arts institution. The guy who's painting the picture is protected by the guy in the uniform, and the guy in the uniform is protecting the country that says, hey, if all you want to do is paint the picture, that's fine with me. I'll protect you. Okay? And there is a place for the smoking lounges there. There is a place. You want to smoke pot? Come on. I can drink 3 Budweisers and the day is over. That doesn't happen with a quarter of a little joint or whatever. There's a place in a community like that for that. And I think that in terms of what's happening in New York, well, that's obviously never going to happen here. But you don't join Roth Radio for reasonable, predictable, or regular, do you? What do you think, Lise?
I'll tell you where I agree completely.
Go.
That is that I think it would be a shame and a waste of space to use it as a memorial only. I would love to see something as productive as a liberal arts community of some sort where they're creating and living and being vital.
And it's not just liberal arts. It's medical students. It's nursing.
All of it.
Nursing housing. Everybody who wears the blue uniform, police, fire, paramedic, etc., etc. What about their families when they're going to school?
What an amazing way to remember something rather than some monolithic architectural piece of something that does nothing. I agree with you completely. My concern is the future of people. If it's so toxic, the future of the people that are there. They're young and skinny now. And again, I'm talking about something I don't know much about. I'd like to know if that can be cleaned up in some way. What is the future?
I don't know. I can only guess. But from what I gather, that the people who are going to have the energy and the actual desire to get it going again are not the people who are in office currently. All right? When we talk about the EPA and they've discontinued the cleanup routines down there, etc., and you've got people over just across the spit of water. We flew right across that little piece of water in the helicopter. You know, it takes 1 minute to get over to Brooklyn. And they're all snotting and hacking and coughing up the same black death lung gunk that everybody else who was working in that disaster area is currently and was back then. The people who are going to invent the ways to clean that up, the people who are going to have the strength to get through the day while they figure out those inventions and implement them are the young. Because everybody else my age and up, oh, we don't want to upset the golf game. We eat lunch at the same restaurant every single day. It's a good restaurant. Why should I change? I got a Mercedes, baby. I got to put some gas in it. And I drive exactly from A to B. See? You like the way I did that? Seriously. And everybody's going to fight against it, you know, and I had Joel Hollander, you know, one of the faces here from behind the scenes at CBS, you know, Infinity, whatever. And he asked me quite honestly, I consider him a colleague. He said, should we put the new studios, the new building down in that area? I said, no way. No way. It's a, that is a defiance of what I'm talking about now. I think there's a great opportunity to do something new. And if you're going to make change, like you're talking about cleaning it up down there, it's not going to happen in 50-somethings. 40-something dudes aren't going to be the ones to rush down there and take the rest of their life into their hands and go, hey, if you want to clean it, you got to clean it from the inside out. You can't just can't import people from Yonkers for 6 hours a day to go down there and create a whole new environment, create a whole new community.
Understood. I understand. And I agree. And that's the way it always is. I just would like to know that it's happening.
I don't know. I don't know that anything's happening down there right now. Have you seen what's on the TV set currently? You got a lot of people up there holding up big bags of medications and stuff and saying, hey, I used to be fine. Now, you know, again, people are having all, it's like Agent Orange. It's like, you know, people who died in Vietnam and didn't know it till 30 years later. So that's the same thing that's occurring down there. And that's not going to change in any realizable time soon unless you bring in a whole influx of really, really energized, really ambitious people who have a reason to clean it up beyond just let's build another business building. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree.
Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. I don't know. Sounds like the subject just changed a little bit, doesn't it?
How'd that happen?
Animal, you got something to say. Go ahead, man.
Well, no, I think what they should do, man, is like they should like build a big flower garden or something down there, because I know for a fact if you got the right kind of flowers, it will make you breathe better. It might even clear the whole atmosphere up.
You're going to need a whole lot of flowers.
Yeah, you know.
Chloroform.
You know, make a big old flower garden, but I think it would help it out a lot.
I don't think anybody who wears a suit in Washington today goes, I got it, flowers.
I know.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
You are tuned directly to David Lee Roth. How about Little Fire Scarecrow?
How about a little breathe deep the gathering gloom? We have lit the phones up. Turn me up there, Hutch. We have lit the phones up major. Ground Zero is a sensitive subject here. I'm all for having the a traditional kind of a shrine. What they did for Vietnam, excellent. There are many examples of this up in front of the United Nations. There are a number of... What would you call it? A shrine or a tribute or a... what do you call that?
That's what you call it.
Well, I'm all for it. But should it take up the entire area? Of course not. And are you going to be just kind of making it a faceless issue if you just put in a whole nother building that's just business? Another faceless, towering Starbucks, $1,500 baby carriage cell phone building? Well, that's what it's a celebration of. That's why we work in buildings, to get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that, what would you get if you asked everybody who passed away in that disaster? If you proposed to them, you got a microphone on over there somewhere. If you proposed to the folks who actually passed away in the disaster, if you had a telephone call to heaven and you proposed this idea compared to just a simple shrine and then a number of other traditional corporate buildings, what do you think the folks would agree? Please?
I think you'd get as many opinions as you do here on Earth.
You think so?
I do.
Because most of those people who passed away in the great disaster there, 9/11, last I looked, they all dug their families. They all dug going to the beach. I'd say most of them would probably sign up if I said, who likes barbecue? Who likes disco music? Who likes black music in general? Who likes smart stuff in a magazine? Who likes porno? Every single person in that building would raise their hands. Who likes to go to the park on a Sunday? Why not celebrate that element of those individuals as opposed to just the tragedy and the crappy way that they died? Because that's a crappy way to go. They got kamikazed, and it just all came to a bad end in the middle of the sentence without an exclamation point or anything. Just a big question mark. Great. Acknowledge that that happened. But in the spirit that those individuals lived, why would you just want to have one holiday? 9/11. Great. Let's have that holiday. Why can't we have the day we opened up our first daycare center? Why can't we have the first day as a holiday? This will be a whole nother day that we opened up our first bilingual, quadlingual daycare center. How come we can't have another holiday when we celebrate the first time that if you are the artist in residence program, we'll put up a huge building and we'll air condition the hell out of it. And if you are an artist of any kind, whether it's finger painting or architecture, whether it's sculpture or designing rockets, then we got a place for you and, most importantly, your family and your kids while you go to school. If you are working towards the general good of, hey, you going to help clean up the air? Are you headed for the EPA? Are you an engineering student? Do you understand all of that kind of theory? Then great. We got a place for you to live. And more importantly, for your wife and your kids. And I heard she's pregnant again. Don't worry. We got programs for all of that. We'll even have a place for your dogs, because I know you aren't going to train them. You're all going to be too busy going to school and taking care of whatever the nightlife brings. And that includes Broadway, all the new movie theaters. We're going to have Tarantino dedicate the first new cinematography independent film school. And then we're going to have Scorsese doing the lectures, etc. Everybody gets a tax break if you contribute to that. And if you can impact that environment in some positive way, you get a special tax break for that as well. Making sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How come we don't have that?
How come we don't have that anywhere?
We don't have that anywhere in the United States. Some people might disagree with you and say Las Vegas. Just checking to see if you're awake. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. Ted, talk to me about air quality. Roth Radio, you're on the light. Go.
Hey, Dave. I'd like to say I'm a big fan of your music. About the air quality, I'm from New York. I live in Florida now. But as far as the air quality goes, the air quality you're talking about, it went down the tubes because of all the particulate matter that went in the air when all those buildings fell down and collapsed. Now that particulate matter is going to move around with the wind, but that's also going to remediate it. In addition to all the rain and humidity in the air, is going to precipitate that particulate out of the air. So at this point in time, there is no air quality issues down there. The air quality issues were down in a few years, probably only in the first year after those went down and during the deconstructing process. At this point, there's no air quality problems down in
What am I seeing on the news as far as all of these people as far away as Red Hook complaining about all of their difficulties with purifying what's going on in their apartments? You have a huge movement of individuals over there, which is exactly where the cloud blew, and you have a whole lot of people demonstrating even today as we speak. You're saying it's fine that you're going to let your little baby daughter go crawling around as an infant in the ashes down there, and you'll do that with complete confidence?
I would if I still lived up there, because all that particulate in the air is not in the air anymore. There's just too much going on in the actual environment. Now, there could be issues inside your home, but not outside your home.
Okay.
The air outside of your home.
Sure.
Unless the particulate settled in like massive amounts in your area and just keeps on getting whipped up by the wind, it's not going to be there anymore.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with you, my friend. Three times a week, I fly in my helicopter right up and around this city. There's not a point of interest that I haven't been up. And from 1,000 feet up in the grid, virtually every single day, whether you're aware of breathing it or not, is what's called convection nuclei. That's specifically what you're describing. And it rises up off of the floor. That's called airborne particulate matter, and it starts from the ground. And whether it's dog poop or whether it's asbestos debris or whatever, it's in the streets, and you grind it into dust with your feet, and it raises up into the sky, and it sits in a sick, ugly brown cloud 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, unless it pours rain. And even then, it's going to flood back up as soon as it dries out. We see it every single day up there, and it's getting worse. This is what's caused all of the trouble as far as upper respiratory down in Mexico City. You're running into all of this kind of nonsense in places like Bombay and Calcutta. It's because of people are using the streets for toilets. So are all the animals, and it gets ground into dust. And every day it sends a new shower of it up into the sky. So, yeah, is death raining from above? No, it's coming from underneath your soles of your feet. And it rises up into that sky, and it does exactly what you're saying. If you're so convinced, how come you moved to Florida?
I moved to Florida because I like the weather down here.
Ah, well, this has a little bit to do with the weather here. Get somebody else to weigh in on this. If I'm wrong, I'll certainly state it here, but this is how I learned it in ground school. This is comes from the experts who taught me meteorological study. I had to go through all of the ideas of what kind of clouds are up there, what kind of wind currents. At least you and I were flying up there. You got to know every single variation of what's happening, particularly in rotary flight. You know how unstable that is. We see this every single day. It's been a mind-opening horror for me. And a lot of times, I don't even want to go up because it is that virtually every single day. Roth Radio, thanks for calling. 866-313-3733. Scott, talk to me. Roth Radio, you're in the spotlight. Go. You're on, Scott.
How you doing?
Good.
I've been a fan for years. But my question is, you want to put a liberal arts school down where the Trade Center is now? Isn't that kind of degrading to the area?
No. I'm not saying just a liberal arts school. I'm saying that there is a whole community that can be built down there that is inclusive of a liberal arts school. I would put the police school right next to the fine arts school, which would go right next to the architecture school, which would go right next to the engineering school from Harvard. What do you think of that idea?
Personally, I don't think it's a good idea at all.
Okay, why do you disagree?
There are a lot of people that died down there, and a lot of people have a hard time letting go of what happened down there.
I'm not saying that you don't create a spectacular memorial. I think I saw something of the memorial on New York One just the other day, and it looks spectacular. Great cement walls with waterfalls, etc., etc. But that's not going to include the entire area. You have a tremendous opportunity to create something, I feel, in the spirit in which all of those poor individuals who passed on during the disaster lived. We can celebrate, we commemorate the way that they died. Let's celebrate the way that they lived in the same moment. Speak to that if you would.
Well, I think that's a great idea. But the whole point of utilizing that downtown area is, one, clean it up, like everybody says. That's what needs to be done. They're still finding stuff all over on the buildings there.
Sure.
Okay? Two, clean up the area where the footprints are. The PATH trains are starting to run again. They got that up and going. Okay, that's fine. That's great. Now, let's bring in some people to help out with the actual health problems that are going on with the people that are actually down there that are actually showing the signs 4 and 5 years later.
Okay, now may I speak to that? Because the best place that you're going to create research and develop those programs to take care of these problems is from learning schools, from learning hospitals, from teaching hospitals, from a teaching and instructorship scenarios that are involved, whether it's in medical, engineering, industrial protection, environmental protection, that this is where all of the innovations come from. They don't come from a doctor's office. They come from the teaching hospitals. They come from the schools themselves. And if you're really going to create a solution to that problem down there, much less for wherever it happens in the world, then it's going to have to come from people who go to work down there and who live down there. And if you live down there where you work, then you're really going to put your heart and soul into it. That is my belief. Do you not agree with that?
It's a conceptual idea, but it's never going to fly. You know the people in New York.
Yeah, but hold on. Of course, that's never going to fly. And of course, it's never going to happen. But you don't tune into Roth Radio to hear predictable, what everybody else is thinking. Because if it doesn't happen here, maybe somebody else somewhere else is going to hear it and implement that kind of a thinking somewhere else. No, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen the year after tomorrow either. But this radio reaches around the world. And there are communities of people who would think like this and say, perhaps there's an idea there, a germ of a fragment of a sliver of an idea. And if someone picks up the ball and says, maybe we can do a little bit of that in our town. We just had a house burned down. We lost the playground. Maybe if we tried something like that, if one person is responsible to that, then I earned my paycheck today. Roth Radio, don't go away.
David Lee Roth in the mornings.
All I need is the air that I breathe into.
little guitar there, Brian. Play it on, baby. Yeah. Brian Young live in the studio. Swing, baby. Swing on, baby. Good guitar, baby. You an Ashford and Simpson fan, Lace?
Oh, yes. Remember them?
Well, every song that you're hearing in the background, all the loops, all the records, all the tunes and everything come from my collection. That's why I bring these two cases up here like an old disc jockey, you know. I don't use the milk crates and the vinyl. And each thing is apropos. You dig? Don't ask me to spell that. Seems to hang on.
I caught on.
Chris, she wants to talk about the Trade Center here. Roth Radio, share with us, Chris.
Hi, how's it going?
How are you this morning?
I'm good. I think it's a good idea what you want to do. I don't really think that you're being disrespectful or degrading about what happened at the World Trade Center at all, but aren't you a little bit concerned that you want to put young people into a known toxicity area?
Well, some people are going in regardless, okay? And my figure is this, that if there is toxicity, and that exists in virtually everywhere that we go, at least in the United States today, much less the third world or, you know, or beyond, is that who is the most likely to be having the best immune system? Who's most likely to throw off a cold the quickest? Who's the most likely to be able to have the energy to show up day after day for the kinds of research that's going to be able to impact this kind of a disaster? Because
well, right now it's going to be the young people, but I mean, 10 years down the road, aren't you worried about what that's going to do to their lungs to have them in that area day in and day out?
I think that in terms of creating some kind of future that's positive, if you work where you are studying and where you are doing research, you are way more likely to create and invent the colorful new future that everybody predicts. We all know about having, for example, police officers who don't live anywhere near where they work. We know the impact of that. We know the impact of physicians traveling from very far away into communities where they neither live nor really operate as citizens. We know that the impact of that is generally negative. If you live right where you're working and you're trying to create a great community in and of that space, it's going to happen six times as quick, and the people there are going to be working in earnest, as opposed to our traditional government approach, which is aim.
Police officers now. I mean, this is a thing where when it happened, police officers were going in gas masks. I mean, yes, there's toxicity everywhere, but when you have to go in to some place with a gas mask on and have all these biohazard things floating around, you know that a couple years later it's not gone, and it's not the same situation where you'd have if you go a couple miles down. It's still bad, and I don't really agree that you want to put young people in there. I mean, any kind of engineer, any kind of nurse, any kind of police officer, they're going to look at that, and they're going to say they can study that anywhere. There's hospitals set up for that. There's universities.
Just not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Unless disaster happens in your backyard, nothing gets done in America. Unless some politician's kids die, there is nothing happens in America. Unless loved ones and family step out of the building way too early like Elvis left, nothing happens. Unless somebody's kids OD, nothing happens here. You're speaking just as fantastically as I am. What I'm saying, instead of just putting another bunch of buildings in there for business and holding our hands over our eyes, which is what's happening now, and then encouraging that continues without anybody trying to remedy it except for a few band-aids on the problem, then we're really headed for a disaster. And the idea that people are going to start working on that, sure, at the same school they're working to solve Katrina, and at the same school they're working to solve cancer, and the same school, no way. If you live there, and that is your community, and you are striving to improve it and create it, then great. And it doesn't just have to be young people. It's going to be loaded with teachers and professors and all of the ancillary folks that are the structure of our culture there. But I'm talking about creating something besides just another corporate environment that remains toxic and puts our hands over our eyes and just celebrates the way, the terrible way that our friends and loved ones passed on. I'd love to see some element of the future represent the way that those people lived. Can you speak to that?
Absolutely. I mean, I agree that what you want to do is a better idea than putting corporate buildings up 100%. I can see that. I just think right now it's a little premature. I think it's more unsafe to throw hundreds of people in there that don't have to be breathing it in where they could do it anywhere else. I mean, you could right now just keep it as the memorial, stick a bunch of plants around it, make it an environmental thing for a few years and watch it go away a little bit more and more, and then maybe put up what you want to do. Buildings are the same thing. I would argue that the same way, corporate building or what you want to do. I like your idea better. but I just think it's, health-wise, I just think it's premature.
Then for the time being, I'm going to go with what you say. Thanks for calling. Roth Radio, 866-313-3733. She brought up flowers again. What do you think, Animal? Is there a miracle cure here? You plant a forest down there, and that's going to solve the scenario, and I don't say that sarcastically.
Okay, well, I know that for a fact that flowers, you know, help people with asthma breathe better, you know, so I'm just saying you put some kind of greenhouse down there, it might not solve the solution, but it would definitely help.
Would a kind of a forest represent kind of the future? Would that be a positive element? If you created a park environment that is complete greenhouse element, is that disrespectful? Would some people remain saying that that is disrespectful of those who passed on, that you just created another park?
Yeah, probably 50-50. Probably some people might agree with it, and some people might, but you just give it a shot.
What do you think, Lise?
You know, I do know about the effects of trees and such. I mean, we have global warming now. Everything's being destroyed, and we see the effects of that. A green forest would create more oxygen, more chloroform, all the things that are medicinal. As far as what people would think of it,
it's interesting.
As many opinions as there are varieties of trees and flowers.
You get seven people, you have nine opinions, especially about this show. Dave, it says here from Rich Midtown, I believe we need to build a park or an arts center, et cetera, et cetera. As a survivor, my story at www.sraapowersgrez.com. Click, click. Nobody wants offices, he says, except Silverstein. Only buttholes would rebuild offices. I think if you start building offices, it's just going to be a blindfold. We're going to do everything that we do in offices today. Look around here. Everywhere you look is exposed fiberglass insulation. Everybody sits around here rubbing their noses and their eyes like junkies or people waiting at the methadone clinic. And everybody goes, well, it's piped in air. This is supposed to be the state of the art, and everybody's coughing and snotting, and you know, it's an occurrence, right? I think if you put and I don't mean just young people, like, oh, you're going to start just grade schools down there, but if you start to build those kinds of learning institutions and what is that bell in the background?
That, Dave, is the smoke alarm test here in the building that is going to go on probably for the next
that's
2 hours.
That's Kanye West channeling Jesus, agreeing with me.
Do they know that there's a broadcast going on in this building?
Kanye West?
They don't know.
Jesus.
They don't know we have the doors open to the studio. You see, that's what we like. We're open air people.
Yeah. You see, my brother and I can't stand it when the windows and the doors aren't open. So I guess we have to suffer.
Go to Tim here, Hutch. He wants to talk about Ground Zero. Roth Radio, you're on. You're in the spotlight, Tim. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Excellent, thank you.
Actually, I should have called you D-Row. I'm sorry.
Yo, bro.
I wanted to tell you, I almost teared up when the Uncle Manny was on. It reminded me of stories my grandfather used to tell me.
Outstanding.
Anyway, there's a building down there right now. I believe it's the Deutsche Bank that's covered up and shrouded. And they have no idea what to do with that thing because it's full of the contaminants that when the buildings, the towers came down, you know, imploded the windows and filled that whole building with all of the mercury and the, you know, the dust and everything else that's, you know, contaminating that area. Read the article about 2 months ago in one of the, I think it was New Yorker magazine.
Sure.
And right now, they don't even have an idea how they're going to take that building down safely. So, I mean, you know, I think there's a lot more going on here than anybody really thinks about.
And I think that there are a lot of people who have the capacity or at least the ambition and the wherewithal to try and figure out problems like this. But that's not my generation. It's going to be all the young folks who are in college and in school now, folks who are just doing their postgraduate work now, who are going to figure out how to take that building down, how to clean up the area, and how to start, you know, creating a new civilizable. Is it civilizable? I don't even know. But the people who would be the ones that you say to, you put it out a call worldwide. Send out the call to India. You know how many folks are working the computers now? When you call for help on your computer, she picks up the phone in Calcutta. Put out the word through Europe and Southeast Asia. Put out the word through Japan. Put out the word through South America that if you're going to come and even live anywhere near here and chip in all of your genius and all of your technical abilities or all of your constructive abilities to make this something better, then we're going to give you a break. You're going to have a place to live. You're going to have a tax break. You're going to have ancillary to take care of your family, your food, your medical, and your recreational. Bring on the nightlife, baby, starring David Lee Roth. But if you do all of that, then you stand, oh, why? Why would you have to do that as opposed to depending on the government? Because all human behavior is result-oriented, just like Cheetah. Remember Tarzan? He did nothing unless there was a banana involved. And human beings do nothing unless there's an immediate or at least a protracted result. And if the result is, you mean I get a tax break? You mean I get rent? You mean I got medical? I got child care? I got recreational? I can put some sand in my shoes? I can go down to Brighton Beach once a month with my family and like that? You better believe I'm going to throw my time and my effort. I'm going to walk myself into that research center over and over again. And you're going to hear that in 82 different languages, particularly here in New York City. Or we can set up a monument. What do you think? That's what I thought. Give us number 8 here, Hutch. Tag him in here. He's coming from Boston, and he says something about the Trade Center as well. Roth Radio, my friend, talk to you.
What's going on, DL?
My friend, speak.
Hey, you know, I think that you're onto something. You're definitely onto something there with your idea. I think that, you know, why is a homeless person homeless? You got to go to the root of the problem. And I think what you're suggesting is bring in the best minds. Bring in, you know, the things that are going to add value to the community. But what I said before, and I've always, you know, been adding to what you've got to say, is what's the added value of the richest people in New York who are going to, you know, front the money to rebuild there? You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. What do you mean the added value of the front money? Speak to that, if you would.
Okay, why would I want to put in a school? I mean, Chris had a good point. Why would you want to, you know, bring in kids and things like that into an area where there's all this toxicity? But the truth is, if you can bring in, you're not wrong, Dave. If you can bring in the best minds to educate people, because you're right, the added effort of what you put into it, when you have a financial, I don't know, benefit to doing so, it's going to make you put more of yourself into it. What I'm saying is, it all boils down to money. Who's going to make money from your idea, Dave?
Okay, it's not even who's going to make money. I'm selling you a lifestyle, man. You move here to these borders, you move to the perimeter of this, and you don't even have to move into the inside of it. Work from the outside in. Populate the perimeters. Work from the margins into the interior. Nah, you don't want to bring grade school kids in there, but all the best minds are walking inside the bodies of 20-somethings and 30-somethings right now, because they're the ones who are going to have to invent the new stuff. My generation knows what came before, and we're busy perfecting that so that we don't have to ruin our golf game. The new faces, the new ambitious ones who don't want any of the predictability, those are the ones that you put the call out. Put them on the margins. Work towards the inside. No, you're not going to put grade schools in there. Put in graduate work. Put in the high schoolers. Put in the college kids. Put in the postgraduate. Put in the military school, etc., etc. And if you're not going to live right in the center, no, there's a monument that goes right in the center. Work from the outside in, baby. Just like Roth Radio.
David Lee Roth, mornings.